Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Supertalk 99.7.
On Supertalk 99.7 WTN. Why have I been called a fake talk show host? Yeah. Van Gogh listener, but we'll get into that.
Are you a cowboy? What are you really in real life? If you're not a talk show host.
I'm sure not a cowboy, that I know. But anyway, so we'll get into why I've been called a fake talk show host. And it's all fine. It's all good and well. We're all friends here. At least I thought. Anyway, George Clooney is now telling Parkland students, "You make me proud of my country again." Now, of course, we all know that I believe tomorrow now is the big March for Our Lives rally in Washington, D.C. As now, George Clooney has written a heartfelt letter to students of the Parkland, Florida high school where a gunman killed 17 people last month. And he's expressing pride at their activism and support for their work to promote gun control and school safety. Now, As George Clooney talks about how these students make him proud of his country again, I would invite you to go check out the video that I've posted on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. There's audio on that that I would love to play for you. It's an interview from David Hogg. Now, we all know who David Hogg is. He's this kid who at one point said, "I'm not going to go back to school until some form of gun control legislation is passed." And, of course, I don't know if he's gone back to school because he's making all of these media appearances. But one of the things that I noticed in this David Hogg interview, and I don't even know, it's like he's sitting at a kitchen table with some folks, but a couple of things were extraordinary to me, and I don't know why I was taken aback by it, but I really was. He is, of course, talking about gun control, and he's talking about taking people's guns and going after the politicians and so forth. But one of the things that he also said is that there is so much anger and vitriol and curse words. He must have dropped like 25, 30 F-bombs and S-bombs in the midst of this 2.5 or so minute clip. He's also incredibly arrogant. And the reason why I think it's important, because some guy on the Facebook page said, "Well, why does his arrogance bother you? Why don't you focus on what David Hogg is saying versus the arrogance and the curse words?" And my response back to, as said, Facebook poster, who, by the way, this particular Facebook poster is also incredibly arrogant, as a matter of fact, now that I'm just thinking about this. But anyway, I'm just beside the point. His name's Larry. And one of the things that I find interesting is the fact that if you focus on what David Hogg is saying, you take out all the curse words and all of the arrogance and all the other things that he was saying, well, he's still wrong. And he and George Clooney are right in the same wavelength. They're both in the same wrong lane. Because when George Clooney said that he was expressing pride at the activism of people like David Hogg and the support that Clooney has for their work to promote gun control and school safety, well, they're not talking about school safety. David Hogg and all these student activists who are marching for their lives on Washington, D.C. this weekend, they're not marching for school safety. We all know what marching for school safety would entail. It would be an end to gun-free zones. It would be more of an embracement across America of teachers being armed. It would be more of those SRO, the state resource officers that have been able to, like the one in, this happened when I was on vacation, I think it was Maryland, where an SRO took out a guy who was walking in and started shooting. He took out, I think it was an ex-girlfriend of his or whatever, and the officer took the guy out with a bullet. And it is proof positive that having more officers in schools can lead to these guys being taken down. And so when you talk about how these thousands or millions of students are going to march over the weekend for school safety, they're really not marching for school safety. They're marching to essentially promote gun control and take away the guns and Second Amendment and everything else. But one of the things that you also have to think about when we talk about the David Hoggs of the world, when we talk about all of these thousands of students that are marching, former President Barack Obama, he has also written a letter to these kids, and he is encouraging all of this. One of the things that we know is that for a lot of people, I believe that we are, and people are, finally seeing through the agenda. They're finally seeing through the fact that while all of these kids are marching to promote school safety and promote gun control, I think most people know, and what I said to the arrogant Facebook commentator that commentated and commented on what I had posted and said, well, what does his arrogance and curse words have to do with anything of what he's actually saying and the point that he's trying to make? Well, it's the same thing that George Clooney's saying, and that is that by focusing on the gun and focusing on all of the other things that they frankly should be looking at, they're misdirecting. What they really need to do is direct the focus onto things like mental illness. And of course, we all know the clues that the FBI missed and all the other things that we've been talking about, quite frankly, ad nauseum for the last couple of months. And we all know that we have these conversations every time there is one of these school shootings. So yeah, George Clooney now saying that all of these students and students like David Hogg, and again, please go look at the video on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page, because all he does is it's all about cursing F this, S the, that, and it's just, it's incredibly arrogant. And what I've said about David Hogg and some of these other students in the past is that they are really, really enjoying their 15 minutes. And clearly now it's more than 15 minutes. And so I think for a lot of these students, and like David Hogg, I think he has now found a mission in life. It's really what he has decided now to do with his life is he is becoming a professional activist. But as I've mentioned before, what ultimately is happening, and we all know that George Soros and leftists like George Clooney and some of these other folks like Louis Farrakhan, these are the people that are behind these marches. And it's not about the gun at all. It's not even about school safety at all. For the left and for the liberals, what this really is, and I've said this before, so it's going to be a slight retrace for some of you folks who pop in and out, but essentially what this is Louis Farrakhan and George Soros and a lot of these folks on the left. What they're doing is they are creating a common enemy with all of these millions of students across the country. That common enemy is the gun. And then by extension, Republicans and conservatives. And so now what they're doing is they're creating an entirely new generation of activists and people who will vote for Democrats. And that is what this is all about. But, you know, for George Clooney, this is a guy who has been flirting with running for president. Oh, by the way, did you see that John Kasich? There's a number of people that are now kind of showing their hands and really giving an indication that they're going to run against President Trump. And that list, man, it just keeps getting longer and longer. Now, Bernie Sanders, he has been making a lot of noise. Joe Biden, of course, we talked about Joe Biden in the last couple of days because Biden said he's going to take President Trump out behind the woodshed and, you know, beat him up for all these comments that President Trump made about women during the Access Hollywood videos. So we know that Joe Biden is out there as well. John Kasich is now saying that he is going to run for a president. At least he's dropping hints that he's going to run for president against President Trump in 2020 in some sort of a Republican primary. I don't see Marco Rubio going away anytime soon. I could totally see Marco Rubio also deciding that he was going to run against President Trump. And I think when you think about, and by the way, Ted Cruz also out there. And I think that when you look at John Kasich and you look at Marco Rubio, after another 3 years of President Trump and his rather bombastic style, the question I would have is this. After the president's rather bombastic style, will Americans be ready for a president who is nicer, a president who is kinder, a president who is gentler, somebody who is the exact opposite of President Trump? You could say the same thing about Joe Biden as well. So that's going to be fodder for conversation here in the next couple of days and certainly the next couple of years as well. And that's nowhere near being a conversation that is not going to be done until 2020. Walmart is now beginning a testing process for shelf scanning robots in California. Now, as we know, Flippy the hamburger flipper, that robot that was being tested in, I think it was a particular restaurant in California as well, I think it was. Well, Flippy, apparently what was the problem with Flippy, and we talked about this before, they said that Flippy was too slow. Well, it turns out, and I had a number of people send this to me when we were talking about this, the problem with Flippy wasn't that Flippy was too slow. The problem was that the workers that were working around Flippy couldn't keep up with Flippy's hamburger flipping. And so that was the problem. So apparently now Walmart is, you know, how much is that probably freaking out the people in Walmart to the people who work in Walmart who have been screaming for $15 an hour to see a shelf scanning robot? And if you see the story on the Dan Mandis Facebook page, you will see that these things are incredibly efficient. They're 6 foot tall robots. And what they do is they come with a tower, and that tower that is fitted with cameras that scan aisles to check stock and identify missing and misplaced items, as well as incorrect prices and mislabeling. This would scare the crap out of me if I was a Walmart employee. It really would. If I was one of those $15 an hour Walmart employees that have been screaming for 15 bucks an hour, never mind. You know, one look at these shelf scanning robots and yeah, I would be updating my resume. Walmart in California is currently testing the robot, but Walmart also has plans to roll them out to 50 or more U.S. stores in the near future. They also have locations in San Jose, California, also doing the same thing in a handful of stores in Arkansas and Pennsylvania. Out-of-stock items are a big problem, they say, for retailers since they miss out on sales every time a shopper can't find a product on store shelves. But with the autonomous robots, they were able to clear one aisle every 90 seconds. Think about that. Now, how long do you think it'd take a Walmart employee to do the same thing? And listen, I'm not dissing on Walmart employees, I mean, by any stretch of the imagination, although I have in the past. All I'm saying is that if you've got an autonomous robot that can do the same damn thing, well, then guess what? It means that if you're somebody, a Walmart employee who is trying to scan all of these various aisles and take a look and see what is missing from the shelves, what might be mispriced and so forth, well, 90 seconds is a pretty damn good time. They say that 90 seconds is a fraction of the time it would take a human to complete the task. So we'll have to see what happens there, and we'll see if that ultimately is does a better job than Flippy did. Although, again, Flippy, at least according to some reports, Flippy the hamburger flipper was a little too efficient. But a number of other conversations that we've been having today, including President Trump. What time is it? 2:18. Let me play a little bit of audio from President Trump. Bell, if my computer could be brought up on the board. One of the things that the president said earlier today is he decided to sign the $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill is the fact that I've been saying this off and on throughout the afternoon in the last couple of days, because I predicted that this thing was going to be signed, and true to form, it has now been signed. And one of the things that the president said is that this bill will bring us the strongest military ever.
We have to have by far the strongest military in the world. And this will be by far the strongest military that we've ever had.
Yep.
So when you look at all of these pages, a lot of that is devoted, a lot, to the military.
Yeah, of course, what we know is that it doesn't do anything to help the border.
I can tell you this, and I say this to DACA recipients.
Love this.
That the Republicans are with you. They want to get your situation taken care of. The Democrats fought us. They just fought every single inch of the way. They did not want DACA in this bill.
Yeah, and we know why they didn't want DACA in the bill. They didn't want DACA in the bill because then when it passed, and the Democrats knew that this was more than likely going to pass, they didn't want a Republican Senate, a Republican House of Representatives, and a Republican president to get credit for providing a path to citizenship for 1.8 million Dreamers. We know that's what this was all about. And so when the president says that the Dreamers are being utilized as political pawns in this game, well, the president is absolutely right. The Republicans have been all about DACA. The president and the Republicans have been, at least a lot of Republicans, have been all about trying to figure out that pathway to citizenship for the Dreamers. But the Democrats wanted nothing to do with that.
I do want the Hispanic community to know and DACA recipients to know that Republicans are much more on your side than the Democrats, who are using you for their own purposes.
Yeah, and the president is absolutely right. So while there is very little in the way of funding for the wall and hiring of Border Patrol agents and ICE and so on and so forth, we've been talking about that. There's very little border security and immigration reform in this bill. The president has said that it's not over yet. That is a battle that is yet to be fought and will continue to be fought in the White House and also in the hallowed halls of Congress. What we do know is that we do have a bunch of money for military spending. And so the president talked about how we're going to upgrade our nuclear subs, going to build brand new nuclear subs as well, dozens of naval ships. We've got a whole bunch of jets coming, tanks, missile defense, some offense as well, as far as missile technology goes as well. And national security, this was a very, very big speech on national security. And that's how the president and the Republicans are justifying assigning this $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill that does nothing to balance a budget, that does nothing to hold Congress or, frankly, the president accountable for any of the money that they're spending. Because there's nothing in here that mandates any kind of a balanced budget or, again, any kind of discretion in spending our money. But it has now been signed, and we'll have to see what they do with this money going forward. It is 222 on Super Talk
99.7 WTN. I'm Pamela Furr. Another day, another march on Washington. I'll have details about the upcoming one on Saturday. And one major company has decided to pull the plug on Facebook. I'll tell you who and why coming up at 2:30 on WTN.
Who is it? Come on, just tell us.
No.
Oh, come on.
Wait.
Ah, whatever, fine.
Guess. It's an innovator.
Well, I know Mark Zuckerberg came out and said, hey, you know what the solution to our problems here at Facebook is? Government regulation. So, which I thought was actually kind of interesting. So maybe Facebook is pulling the plug on itself.
No.
Okay.
Not even close.
Well, I didn't think so. Anyway, so we have a lot more coming up here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN, including the battle over illegal immigration. I will get to the note that I got from a very nice lady who clearly apparently thinks that I am not only a fake talk show host, but now a fake conservative as well. So I've got those stories.
I cannot wait.
I just don't get people sometimes. I really don't.
Is it a woman?
Yes. She is. I'm not sure what that has to do with anything.
But you said earlier you didn't get women either.
I don't. Whatever. Let's move on. Let's really move on from this one. Anyway, it's 229 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show. We do have some other stories that we are covering today, including the fact that the president is now apparently ready to take on Robert Mueller. That story straight ahead as well on WTN. 237 Super Talk 99.7 WTN Dan Mandis Show. Why am I a fake talk show host? I don't know. So here's what Barbara says, and this is she sent me a nice note. Actually, it wasn't very nice on Dan Mandis Show Facebook. I'm really making people mad today, and I'm not exactly sure why.
You're breathing.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. She says, I'm sitting here listening to you talk about the president's affairs, just like you know that they happened. Were you there in the bedroom? Did it occur to you that some of these sleazy women porn stars or whatever might be out to get some money and they've no more had an affair with Donald Trump than I have? You are what Donald Trump would call fake news or a fake talk show host. You know, it's so fascinating because I'm sitting here and I talk about this stuff, I mean, every flipping day. How many times have I talked about the fact that a lot of these women very well could be lying? What I specifically said in just about Barbara, every single damn monologue that I do on this stuff, is I say, if this happened, it wouldn't surprise me. But I swear, it's like people, they just hear what they want to hear. And it's all fine and well. Got another guy that's screaming at me in all capital letters, I think, by the way. And he's calling me a fake conservative because I use the term illegal immigrant versus illegal alien. Now, obviously, he hasn't heard me utilize not only both of those terms, but I've also used the term illegal. I'll say, yeah, illegals. I've said that before, too. But, you know, when you're on the air for 3 hours a day and you talk about the oftentimes the same topics that come up daily, you know, there are times when I want to just try and vary up the vernacular that you use sometimes. So, you know, people get mad at me when I utilize the term illegal alien. They get mad at me when I utilize the term illegal immigrant. And boy, when you use the term illegal, just generally speaking, the illegals, that really makes people mad. So,
why? Why did, now that one makes people mad?
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you say undocumented worker, that's when I start getting the emails.
Undocumented worker. I don't know if I've ever used that term.
I don't think you have.
Undocumented worker.
Uh-uh.
No.
And that's a very PC way to say it. And sometimes,
got it.
You know, the copy that I get has it that way, and I didn't rewrite it. So,
okay.
You know what I mean? So undocumented worker.
Sure. Okay, very good. So anyway, that's been my day.
Well, just relax.
Listen.
You're loved.
Guess what I... No, I'm not. Guess what I have, though, at home?
You're uncomfortable with that.
I'm uncomfortable with somebody with you telling me that I'm loved?
Mm-hmm. You didn't just say thank you. You just said
she's
no,
very
no.
Correct.
Oh, for the love of God. Are both of you trying to make me feel uncomfortable now?
Mm-mm.
I'm coming in there to give you a hug.
No, you're not.
He's going to enter your personal space. What do you have at home?
What do I have got a whole bunch of wine that I'm going to drink this weekend?
No.
I do.
Surprise, surprise. You're becoming quite the alcoholic. He has nothing. He has no comeback.
You know what's funny? It's because I think it might be true. You know, the harder that I work and the more radio shows I do, how I cope is by drinking wine. How
Yeah, but you drink blackberry wine.
I know. Courtesy of my friends at Amber Falls Winery.
And it's really, really good.
Listen, this is how I cope with being called a fake conservative or a fake
talk
show host.
You turn to the bottle.
I turn to a bottle of wine in a brown paper bag. That's exactly right.
Oh, that's classy.
Oh, I know.
It could only be worse if it was strawberry wine.
That's really good, too. I've had strawberry. I have. I've had strawberry.
Oh, please don't sing.
Anyway.
Yeah, have you had homemade strawberry wine?
No, I have not had homemade strawberry wine. But, you know, after today's show, you know, it's been a great show.
You're willing to try?
Absolutely. I'll try anything at this point. No, it's been a great show. We're off the air for like 5 minutes in the first hour. So that was classic. And the president.
Okay. But those listening online.
They did not.
You need to appreciate.
Absolutely.
Our vast audience.
Yep.
That stream and listen on their phones.
Yep. I very much. And that's why when you're off the air, you just keep on talking, which is what we did.
Until you go, I don't know what to do. We're kind of off the air, so I don't know what to do right now.
Oh, I did do that,
yes,
didn't I?
You did.
Thank you for pointing that out. By the
You're
way,
welcome.
Larry writes, hey, maybe President Trump and Melania at the time had an agreement. Not my cup of tea, but many marriages do these days have like an open marriage. And
we talked about that yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked about the Clintons, of course, yesterday. Mm-hmm. There's a report from, I think it was the Daily Mail, and everybody had it last night. Where, you know, word is the Clintons, and that wouldn't surprise me that they had an open marriage as well. By the way, I'm not sure if you have seen the video. I have the video posted on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page, but Black Lives Matter and a whole bunch of other people, they are protesting the shooting of a, quote, unarmed black man in his own backyard in Sacramento, California. The guy's name is Stephen Clark, or Stephen Clark, S-T-E-P-H-O-N.
Probably.
Is it Stephen?
O-N.
O-N, yeah. Yeah, so Stefan.
I'm recovering from whiplash of topic changing all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. It's
whiplash.
That's okay. You got whiplash from the various topics
yes.
that I'm throwing here in the last, in the final 30 minutes of the show.
So, what happened? I mean,
here's what happened. The police get a phone call. And there's calls of somebody in the area busting windows and vandalizing and so forth. And so the police are in Sacramento are looking for whoever is doing this. And, you know, they're knocking on people's homes and so forth and asking if they can take a look in their backyards. Well, the helicopter above sees this guy, Stephen Clark, and he's running and he's hopping fences and so forth. And Stephen Clark makes it all the way to his home. Where in his backyard, he has an altercation with police. And again, you can see this entire video on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. And all the video, they've got the video from the helicopter. They've got the video from the uniform cams, if you will, from the police as well. And so Stephen Clark is walking towards the police. And the police there's two of them. There's two police officers in the backyard. And as Clark is walking towards the police, they open fire and they kill him. Okay. Now, It took them about two, and there's, you know, there's a lot of gray area here. There really is, at least to me. Because 2.5 minutes later, they try to communicate with Clark, who has just had, you know, a multitude of bullets fired into him, and he's laying on the ground. They finally try to communicate with him, saying something to the effect of, we're trying to help you, but we need you to, you know, need to make sure you don't have a gun. Well, the guy's clearly dead. I mean, he's been shot many times. Finally, about 5 minutes or so after he's shot, I believe they finally call 911. And they also, by the way, realize that Stephen Clark did not have a gun. He had a cell phone. Now, if I was going to defend the police on this one, I would say, because again, and people hate when I do this, but I can see all sides. From the police standpoint, the helicopter sees Stephen Clark running over fences and all this kind of stuff and jumping into a backyard. I don't think they knew that this was his backyard. And so as he's walking towards them, they're screaming, drop the gun and so forth. And then they just fire at him and they, you know, shoot him many times. He's on the ground. And so from their standpoint, they thought that he may have had a gun. But you can't hear everything that was said, and you can't hear what was said between the police officers and everything else. But from the police standpoint, they feel like they did everything right. Now, if you're somebody who is Black Lives Matter, or you're somebody who, like me, who just kind of looking for the truth and wants to see all sides on this thing, I could also say, well, you know, the police, while they may have been justified in shooting, they didn't give this guy long enough to prove that he didn't have a gun. In other words, he's walking towards them. He has a cell phone in his hand and no gun. But instead of saying, you know, put your hands up or whatever it is, they just started firing and didn't give Stephon Clark enough time to prove that he did not have a gun. So now we have Black Lives Matter and a whole bunch of activists out there in Sacramento, and they're doing what they do, which is they blocked one of the big highways out there. And by the way, I've also spoken to some police professionals, and they have said to me that it was a good shoot. They say that it was a justified shooting of Stephon Clark. But again, obviously, everybody's going to have an opinion on this thing. I'd like yours if you want to watch the video on the Dan Mandy Show Facebook page. Again, it's all there. So now we have these protests in Sacramento. We'll have to see if this ends up going nationwide. But the problem is that these protesters, and stop me when you've heard this before, they're taking out their anger and their ire on the wrong people. Because, yes, they shut down one of the highways there in Sacramento. What they also did was they surrounded, essentially, the Sacramento Kings Arena, and so people were not able to get into the Atlanta Hawks basketball game last night because they were keeping thousands of fans from entering the building. Why would you do that? I would be willing to bet that at least some of those people that were heading into or trying to go into the arena to watch the basketball game would have agreed with the fact that, at least according to some, this was an unjustified shooting. This is where they go wrong. Instead of trying to take out their ire on the police officers, and I'm not saying violence by any stretch of the imagination, but instead of focusing their efforts on the people who were responsible for the shooting, they just decided that they would anger some of the very people who would be for their very cause. Not very smart from the standpoint of Black Lives Matter and all these protesters. People were protesting, again, this was on Sunday, the shooting of unarmed Stephon Clark, a 22-year-old black man who was killed. It was apparently in his grandmother's backyard after a foot pursuit. That's new information. They originally said it was his backyard. Maybe he was living with his grandmother. Who knows? So what the protesters did was they locked arms to form a big old chain around the arena, holding signs and chanting. They also had rallied outside of City Hall and the Sacramento Police Station as well earlier in the day, which if that's what they want to do there, well, that to me is more justified than disturbing the people who simply want to go see a basketball game. And so essentially the Hawks and the Kings, they took the court for warmups, but they pretty much played in front of an empty stadium because people couldn't get in. So then you had the Sacramento Kings. What they had to do was they had to give people refunds for the game. So to me, you can talk about the shooting all you want. You can talk about whether or not this was a justified shoot or not, and certainly people are. But the bottom line is this: by closing highways and by not allowing people into a sporting event, all you're doing is you're damaging your own cause and you're damaging your own brand. It is 2:49 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
I'm Pamela Furr. Coming up, I'll tell you who among the Tennessee congressional delegation voted against the omnibus bill, while the president says he wants line item veto power. These stories and more at 3 on WTN.
2:55 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mendes Show, 615-737-9986. You know, while you're at the Dan Mendes Show Facebook page, if you'd like to send me a wonderful private message, you certainly can.
All right.
Man, I'm getting hammered. I don't know what's going on today. You know what I think?
What?
I think that I am not the one that needs to start drinking. I think some of these people that are hating on me, they are the ones that need to start drinking.
Maybe they already
need
have.
They need to chillax is what they need to do.
Oh, man. Did you really use that word?
What's wrong with that term? Chillax. Is that wrong?
Katie's called. They want their word back.
You know what? They are.
You know what? I would like to call the 80s and get my 80s hair back. That's what I would like to do.
No, I think they've probably been drinking already since it's Friday, so their filter is gone.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
People's filters have suddenly just gone away because mm-hmm. they've been drinking? Okay. Yep. Well, maybe. Well, you know, it's funny because one of the things that I have posted on the Dan Mendes Show Facebook page, speaking of stupid, animal activists are now covering themselves in animal manure. In protest. Now, think about this. And you can see the whole video on the Dan Mendes Show. You can.
No.
Because what they've done is they have literally, I kid you not, it's like they're swimming in manure.
I don't want to see this.
A vegan activist has now covered herself in animal dung outside a Trader Joe's to protest the chain's alleged manure-filled living conditions for hens. Oh, thank God, the music. Oh.
That was a misfire.
That was, oh, shoot. That's a minute early. Oops. Can't we just go away and so I don't have to talk about the animal activist covering herself?
It's your story, your show. Nobody held a gun to your head and made you talk about poo.
I'm not talking about poo. I'm talking about this animal activist who is full of poo and laying in poo as well. And so what they're saying, her name, by the way, is Cassie King. She is a student at UC Berkeley. Now, there's a shock. That she's from UC Berkeley. And apparently now she's working with the animal rights group Direct Action Everywhere for this stunt that apparently is now turning heads because of the fact that she's getting all kinds of publicity. And this is, of course, what they do, is they do something, you know, rather incredibly stupid. And so then they get all kinds of publicity for it and media coverage.
And you fell for it.
Well, see, the reason why I'm bringing this up is not because I necessarily care about the alleged manure-filled living conditions for hens. I just think it's funny that she was taking a swim in poo.
Anybody else want chicken wings?
Yeah, suddenly, I need some Nashville hot chicken.
Hey, do you know what I had over the last couple of days? I had goose jerky. You know, you can have beef jerky. A friend of mine made me goose jerky. It is really good. So you know what? The big night is going to be at the Mendes household tonight. Goose jerky.
And blackberry wine.
And blackberry wine.
You mean to tell me.
And that's a wrap.
Is it legal?
Is it legal to make goose jerky? Well, I hope so.
Okay. Was it really good?
It's outstanding. All right. Phil Valentine is up next. We'll see you Monday on WTN. Some.